I have to tell you about the most incredible thing that happened yesterday here in San Francisco. We decided to take a little break in the afternoon. We decided to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, and we get about halfway across the bridge, and this guy comes up to me and says, would you mind taking my photograph? And I took his camera to take his picture, and he gets down on one knee and starts proposing to the girl that he's with right there. And I took probably 50 or 60 pictures with that camera.
And then you quickly married them right there on the spot.
That's right. Officiated the wedding.
Oh, how wonderful.
Well, amazing experience.
Well, it just tops a week of great things that have happened for you there. We can't wait to hear your visit with Alice Waters. But first, let's get reaction to last night's Republican debate, which was more like a boxing match. John Kasich took shots at Donald Trump. Chris Christie took shots at Hillary Clinton. Ted Cruz took shots at the CNBC moderators.
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
That clip from CNBC and Westwood One. NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving is here. And Ron, let's stay with my boxing ring metaphors. Does the media deserve a black eye? And did they land one last night?
In the first two debates, which were on Fox News and on CNN, the questions were quite pointed, and some controversy developed over how pointed those questions were. Nonetheless, the CNBC producers chose to have their moderators ask what would have to be described as rather combative questions, some of which seemed to show contempt for the candidates. Is yours a comic book candidacy, for example, directed at Donald Trump, very first question to Donald Trump, and so on. And the candidates were bristling and making small references to nasty questions or something of that nature until we got to Ted Cruz, and he didn't like the question he got, so he fired off what you just played. And through the rest of the evening, we heard candidate after candidate jump on that bandwagon in one way or another, including Chris Christie, who at one point said, the way you're acting, even in New Jersey, we call it rude.
Well, they also, at least in Marco Rubio's case, and I think Ted Cruz did as well, try to make the point that there are no interviewers that vote Republican. And here's Marco Rubio later on in the debate.
The Democrats have the ultimate super PAC. It's called the mainstream media. Whoever single day.
Ron Elving, your thoughts on that? Because I'm thinking back over some of the interviewers, and while I don't know, it's like you don't ask people's. I'm betting that many of them are Republican.
There is real question as to whether or not any of the moderators vote Republican. I'm not sure we know how any of them vote, but if you watch CNBC regularly, or for that matter, Fox News, which did one of the other debates, or for that matter, CNN, if you can guarantee to me that all of those moderators are Democratic voters, well, I would be incredulous, surprised, quite frankly. And if you consider the next debate in 10 days is going to be on Fox Business News, if you watch Fox Business News and those people sound like Democrats to you, then, well, I would have to say I was incredulous.
Well, it becomes important only because it is being used today as hay and fundraising material. So we mention it. But let's talk about the candidates. Jeb Bush, he looked like a man who'd been told to pounce. And he did, after fellow Floridian and former protege Senator Rubio was asked by a CNBC moderator about that Florida headline yesterday saying that he should step down as senator because he was absent from Congress while campaigning for president. And here's Jeb Bush jumping on that.
Marco, when you signed up for this, this was a 6-year term. And you should be showing up to work.
I get to respond, right?
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Well, it's interesting. Over the last few weeks, I've listened to Jeb as you've walked around the country and said that you're modeling your campaign after John McCain. You know how many votes John McCain missed when he was carrying out that furious comeback that you're now modeling it under?
He wasn't my concern.
No, Jeb, I don't remember. Senator. Well, let me tell you, I don't remember you ever complaining about John McCain's vote record. The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position, and someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well, I've been.
Here's the bottom line. I'm not.
Ron Elving, Slate published an article this morning headlined, Jeb Bush Died on That Stage.
Well, that may be putting it a little strongly, but certainly Jeb Bush had a scripted attack all ready to go when the subject of Marco Rubio's missed votes came up. And guess what? Marco Rubio had a scripted counterpunch all ready to go. And he had already talked about how many other senators, including Barack Obama, ran for president, missed a lot of votes in the year before the actual election year, including John McCain. And he used that to good effect and then was able to bring it back and use it as a counterpunch quite effectively against Jeb Bush, who then then did not have another very good comeback. And that just emphasized how all through the evening, Marco Rubio seemed to be not just well prepared on the issues, but prepared for the dynamics of the debate. And Jeb Bush did not.
Now, John Kasich sprang from the blocks. He'd had some momentum talking about how the policies of Donald Trump and Ben Carson, he didn't name them, but the policies were crazy. How did the front runners, Donald Trump and Ben Carson, well, actually Ben Carson and Donald Trump, how'd they do?
They, in this case, did exactly as Marco Rubio did. The counterpunch was more effective, especially from Donald Trump to John Kasich. The counterpunch was more effective than the punch. And the anticipation of what these candidates would be attacked for was plenty for them to be prepared. And Donald Trump came back at John Kasich about how Ohio's success story was really just about oil and fracking, and about how when he was not governor of Ohio and not in the House of Representatives, John Kasich was a partner in Lehman Brothers, which was the Wall Street bank that went down in 2008 and largely touched off the panic of 2008. It was a highly effective counterattack from Donald Trump, and that really set the tone of the evening for those two candidates.
And by the way, today also saw Paul Ryan sworn in as 67th Speaker of the House, John Boehner leaving the House for the last time. So that will also maybe play out and intersect with the presidential campaign as it goes forward. NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, Robin.